What's going on, guys? We're here. Thank y'all for tuning in. This is Tariq Nasheed right here on Tariq Radio. It's Thanksgiving today, so we're doing a Thanksgiving broadcast today. Shout out to everybody who's at home with their families. Y'all gather everybody around. I know some of y'all got the itis, but come on around and tune in and let everybody know that I'm live right now so we can chop it up. What we're going to do, we're going to take that real quick commercial break while you're getting the family together to let them know that we're here. And we will be right back right here on Tariq Radio. Don't move a muscle.
Yo, you still ain't getting women? Really? Come on, son. You need to go to badboymembership.com and step up your game. What's up, y'all? It's your boy, Mr. Locario, the bad boy of the dating game. And I'm telling you that if you really want to attract beautiful women, you need to go to badboymembership.com. This is where you get 45 through 90 minute step-by-step dating advice tutorials every month. Just sign up, follow the advice, and you'll get the woman you want. Go to badboymembership.com. That's badboymembership.com.
The Hurricane Report is a news website dedicated to lovingly serving the Black American community. Go to our website, h-report.news. Subscribe to us. Follow us on Instagram at h_REEEPOORT, Twitter at the H-Report2, and share the articles. You can purchase merch, donate, or drop us a line through our contact form. Go to h-report.news. Take action and maintain freedom.
Check out the website Free Game Alert by business coach Dave Anderson, a.k.a. Taz Daddy. You've seen Taz Daddy on tour with me. He's been on the road with me. He's been on The Breakfast Club, Forbes, Black Enterprise, CNN, spitting game on business and entrepreneurship for our people. Go to freegamealert.com so my man Dave can break the game down to you and help you grow your business. Working with Dave and his team, it's not cheap, so you better take advantage right now. If you are ready to invest in yourself, you can apply for a spot on his team at freegamealert.com. Follow my dude Dave on Instagram at TheBusinessBully. And again, check out freegamealert.com.
It's your main man, Mr. X. Get your hand on my pocket, and I'm here to give you what you want, to give you what you need.
This is Mrs. X. Listen to Get Your Hands Out My Pocket on SoundCloud.com/GYHOMP.
We are also on YouTube and Facebook. Come be the solution to Black people's problems.
Have you ever wondered why some people who are not as qualified as you, not as smart as you, or as talented as you can achieve so much phenomenal success out here in the world? If you want to learn the secrets and be ready for a change in 2020, order the book How to Be Successful with or Without a College Degree by author Derek Collins. In this book, he's going to give you straight to the point, no-nonsense principles that will help you take your life to the next level. So go to successclass.org and purchase the book today. Remember, that's successclass.org.
What if there was an opportunity for you to actually get your finances together and make money and pay for things that you already love? That's exactly what the creators of Yelp have done. YelpToday.com is an online platform that teaches financial responsibility without being pushy or salesy. It's designed to show you how to put your money to work, fix your credit, and make an impact with your buying power. For less than a dollar a day, you get unlimited access to information and resources. If you go to YelpToday.com and use the promo code Tariq, you'll be entered to win a free vacation. This month, our winner will be heading to Thailand. Every month, you'll get amazing trips, content, and resources. Go to YelpToday.com and enter the code Tariq to lock in your opportunity to go to Thailand. That's YelpToday.com.
That's YelpToday.com.
The year is 2079. The futuristic nation of New Albion has been created to maintain a new racial apartheid system. There is a planned genocide that is going to target the nation's black population. A small group of black revolutionaries band together to launch guerrilla warfare attacks against their oppressors. Do they fail or do they succeed? Find out the answer by reading the book Avoid the Machines, the new novel by author Scotty Vasco. Avoid the Machines. Now available on Amazon and BarnesandNoble.com.
You're now listening to the incredible, the legendary, Tariq Nasheed.
A nasty, vile gutter snipe right up out the hood.
On Tariq Radio.
Where is JJ getting all this cash?
What's going on, guys? We're back. We are back. Welcome, welcome, welcome back to Tariq Radio. I am your gracious host, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Tariq Nasheed, and it is Thanksgiving, the last Thanksgiving of the last decade, of this decade. We're about to have a new decade in a month. We're going to be in a whole new decade, guys. This is the last Thanksgiving of this decade. So we got to start getting our minds ready for 2020. We got to get our minds ready for 2020. And a lot of people are talking about giving thanks and all that stuff, but we want to talk about who to really, really give thanks to. And I get into that a little bit later on the broadcast. Speaking of giving thanks, I want to give thanks to everybody who has contributed to the Foundation of Black American Conference that we have on Indiegogo. We are pre-selling the admission tickets for it. We're at 61K right now, which is good. We have 6 days left for people to get involved. Everybody, if you're listening, get involved with the Foundation of Black American Conference. Go to Indiegogo. If you're watching me live right now on YouTube, just click the link right below. We got it in the profile section below. Click that link and get involved and get your advance tickets to the Foundation of Black American Conference, which is going to be the premier conference, the premier gathering, the premier think tank for the new decade. You do not want to miss this event, and you can get involved right now. You got 6 days to get involved to make this thing happen, ladies and gentlemen. And also, I hope everybody has their Hidden Colors 5 DVD or download from hiddencolorsfilm.com, ladies and gentlemen. A lot of stuff we want to touch on, a lot of stuff happening in the news. Y'all know I've been talking about transhumanism and these white supremacists weaponizing artificial intelligence and robots and all this stuff. And I remember some months back, I played a clip of these robotic dogs or these little robots, artificial intelligence, these dogs that they made, these little robotic dogs that were doing flips and all this stuff. And some of the stuff kind of went viral of these dogs doing, these robot dogs doing tricks. I said, hey, family, this ain't some cute shit that they're doing. These robots doing all these flips and jumping up walls, we better understand how white supremacy works. They didn't make these things so they can be cute. And an article just came out this week. The Massachusetts police departments are out there using these robotic dogs already. These police departments are using these damn dogs. I told y'all, y'all know what, these dogs are not for tricks and games and being cute. You understand? These folks are about to start trying to go Terminator on us. These things are going to be used on black people. Remember, Micah Johnson out there in Dallas, when he started clapping back on them police officers, what did they do? They sent a robot in there to kill him. That was the first time that has happened in this country. They sent a robot in to kill somebody, an American citizen, on American soil. See, they always try their new technology out on us. The first time a bomb was dropped from the air on American soil was when? Tulsa, Oklahoma, when they got in those planes and dropped bombs on the innocent black people who dare to become successful independently. These white supremacists got in them planes and started dropping bombs on the black neighborhoods in Tulsa. That was the first time that has happened on this soil. All their technology is to be used against us. Y'all go get the book, Avoid the Machines. Shout out to Mr. Vasco for that. I mean, that book breaks that stuff down, how technology is used. And even the movies that these guys make. These movies are telling you what they're trying to do and what they've been planning on doing, because the white supremacists, they understand that their numbers, their human numbers, are in dire straits right now. They're really, really declining. So in order to maintain white supremacy, they're going to have to start clicking up with their technology and start doing Terminator type of shit. We think that it's science fiction. These folks send messages to each other about what needs to be done to maintain the status quo. This thing is real heavy out here. See, this is why it's important for us to really get codified, because when the white supremacists are gone and their numbers are declining very, very fast, their numbers are going very fast. When the white supremacists are gone, what do we do? See, we have been sitting back letting them take care of all the heavy loads. We think that, and in the minds of a lot of black people, we're like, yeah, we kind of got it made. We don't have to do all the hard work. We let white mommy and white daddy do all the hard work. Every now and then they might kill a few of us, but that's the cost of business. We'll live with that just so we can sit back, party, drink, lay up, hate, just do plantation stuff. See, we got to get off that. We got to learn how to operate and work and do business independent of the white supremacists. This is very important. See, we've sat around and festered this plantation mentality where too many of us, not all of us, but just too many of us think that it's cute hating on each other. That has to go. That has to go. The hating culture is something that we're going to have to expunge out of black society. Niggas just be hating for no damn reason. See, we got to get that insecure hating garbage out of the mix, because that hating culture, and let's be very clear, negativity and hate is actually very contagious. When one person starts hating, everybody wants to start hating. Just like, look at social media. When Twitter, or so-called black Twitter, is dragging somebody, that becomes very contagious. Oh, we're going to get together and drag somebody. That ain't about shit. That's just plantation niggotry. Hating don't work. Hating does not work for the hater. I want folks to get that hater mentality out of your system. All that does is just release temporary energy that you try to project from yourself onto other people. It doesn't last. It comes right back to you, because hating is all about your own insecurities. Hating doesn't work for the hater. It really backfires on you. Being a hater doesn't work at all. And you know a good example of that? The Omarion B2K situation. Have y'all seen this situation? Now, Omarion, and I met Omarion, very good brother. He was with his baby's mother, April, and they broke up. And one of his group members from B2K, Lil Fizz, thought he was going to be slick and on some hater shit and start dating her, because she's trying to be messy. She's trying to be antagonistic towards Omarion, and she thought it would be messy and cute to get with his group mate to try to embarrass Omarion. That's all she did that for. They were being messy as hell. They're trying to create a little bullshit storyline on Love and Hip Hop. They're trying to get a rise out of him. Both of them were on some hater shit. And Omarion played it so cool. Publicly, he never said anything negative about it. He did an interview with Vlad, and Vlad was trying to get him to talk about it, and Omarion was very cordial. He was like, oh, I mean, you know, they're doing what couples do. You know, I wish them the best as a couple. Let them do them. I don't think anything of it. I wish the best to them. Omarion was real cool about it. And then Omarion hit him with the whammy bammy, because Fizz has been on social media taking little subliminals, and I've seen older videos of Lil Fizz dissing Omarion. I mean, years ago. I mean, this guy has been saying all types of little slick hater shit because, you know, Omarion's the lead singer in the group. You got a couple of groupies all in Lil Fizz's ear saying, oh man, I like you better than Omarion. So now he's feeling a certain way. The little hater spirit's coming up out of him. So he's taking shots. A little hater nigga shit. Seeing Omarion shining. So, you know, the little hater germ came out the dude. But Omarion hit them with the whammy bammy on Lil Fizz's birthday, which was, what, November 26, something like that. Omarion announced the brand new Millennium Tour. He announced the tour on Lil Fizz's birthday, which was some strategic player shit. And on the new Millennium Tour, there is no B2K. Omarion is headlining, and he's bringing Lil Bow Wow with him. And they changed the lineup a little bit. They got Pretty Ricky. They got Lloyd. They got Sammy. They got Yin Yang Twins. But no B2K. My nigga did a chess move. That right there is called a chess move like a motherfucker right there. That's chess, not checkers. That was some player shit right there. Now, Lil Fizz is over here looking stupid right now. He's looking like Eddie Kane Jr. in the Five Heartbeats, backstage singing in a dusty suit, trying to get back on. See, that's what being a hater does. And the dude, one of the other members of B2K, he even got on social media. He was like, well, damn. Yeah, Lil Fizz kind of fucked up the bag a little bit, you know. See, that's the cost of being a hater. Because Omarion was like, look here, I'm the lead singer of the group, so I can go find three other niggas who can dance to do the B2K songs. I got a whole catalog of my own solo joints, so I can do this on my own and just keep all the damn money. Which I don't blame him. If I was him, I'd go down to the mall and find three niggas who can dance and then get it popping. And when I do the B2K set, bring them three niggas out. And when I'm done, let them go back and give them niggas $50 a concert each. You understand? Lil Fizz fucked up the bag. Lil Fizz, and I hope you're listening, Lil Fizz, being a hater messed the bag up. Dude, you were a part of a sold out tour all around the country. You idiot. And you tried to be cute on some sucker ass hater shit, because that's all that is, messing with dude's baby mom. That's some buster ass sucker shit, dude. You thought you were being slick, and now you got to sit around waiting on them janky ass loving hip hop checks from Mona Scott. That ain't about shit. All you had to do was not be a hater. Dude, you had it made. You didn't really have anything popping like that. On your own, bruh. See what hater shit does? Niggas shoot themselves in their own foot trying to be a damn hater, thinking you gonna put some dirt and some shame on this brother, on Omarion. He played the hell out of y'all. Cool as hell. My man came out squeaky clean, bossed out right now. If I was Omarion, I would call the tour It's Lonely at the Top. And the first single would be Checkmate. You dig? Lil Fizz messed his bag up over some sloppy second cootie cat. Nigga, is it that serious? That was very unplayer of you. And I met April with Omarion. She seems nice enough, but she knows that's some little sucker shit she's doing. Lil Fizz, was it worth it, bruh? Now, when the novelty of y'all little shenanigans wear off, both of y'all are going to break up with each other. Because while Omarion is on tour, Lil Fizz is going to be at home babysitting Omarion's kids. Nigga, who's winning and who's losing here? Lil Fizz, you should have known better. You tried some sucker shit and it backfired on you, bruh, and you look funny style. You messed up your own bag, bruh. See, that type of little sucker shit we got to get out the mix. We can't be out here doing that little stuff, has to go by the wayside, ladies and gentlemen. And speaking of sucker shit, Botham John's brother. Guys, have y'all heard this story? And by the way, everybody, can y'all do me a favor? Hit the thumbs up button right now, family. Everybody, hit that thumbs up button. Hit the thumbs up button right now, guys. Hit the thumbs up button and then hit the subscribe button. Let's get that popping right now. I know a lot of y'all been eating turkey and dressing and pig feet and shit, so some of y'all might be a little tired right now, but let's perk it up and hit that thumbs up button. But speaking of jive turkeys, Nick, Botham John's brother, guys. Botham John's brother is about to get an award down there in Texas. He's about to get something called the Ethical Courage Award for showing forgiveness at Amber Geiger's murder trial. Ladies and gentlemen, this Sambo-ass dude is about to go, and it's a police union that's doing this. There's a police union that's putting this together. It's called the Institute for Law Enforcement Administration. They're having it in Plano, Texas next week, and they're going to give this Sambo-ass Negro a courage award for sitting up here hugging this racist ass violent murderous white supremacist for killing his damn brother, and this fool is gonna show up and take it. Do you know how much of a damn coon you have to be? You're showing up literally for a coon train award. That's the real coon train award right there. This is why we were going in on Lee Merritt. Lee Merritt is his lawyer. This is why. This is why we look at Lee Merritt and all the little shenanigans with those dudes real funny. This is shameful. This is shameful. Forget about them offering the award to him. Just the fact that he's going to go and take the damn award is shameful. And the message they're trying to send is, if you allow us to punish you and brutalize you, we'll reward some of your family members. That's cowardly. And the white supremacists, they love propping up people for cowardly behavior. Whenever we do something cowardly, they're always propping you up. And I told y'all that if they're giving you too many props, then they're parading you around and giving you all these false accolades. That's a problem. Just like with Cynthia Erivo, they're giving her all types of awards now. They gave her some kind of some award, some random ass award the other day. I forgot what the name of it was, but I told people they're going to start giving Cynthia Erivo all of these undeserved rewards and accolades because of her blatant disrespect for black people, not because of her acting skills, because there's other black American actresses who are way better than her. When they see that you can be a tool for white supremacy and you can be manipulated into dumping on foundational black Americans, oh, they'll start propping you up like crazy. I was looking at the Macy's parade today, and they had Billy Porter up there singing. Now, this dude is kind of a talentless hack. This dude is not that talented, but because he's flaming and he throws shots at black people, they prop him up as if he's the most talented Negro ever, and he's not. And that's not hating on this dude, but the way they prop him up and parade him around all over the place, there's an agenda behind that. We have to understand when people are parading people around for an agenda. You understand? So we got to watch these folks. We got to watch them, and we got to not fall for the propaganda. And speaking of propaganda, like I said, today is Thanksgiving. So there's a lot of fake praises and accolades and fake patriotism going around. And a lot of people are confused whether to celebrate Thanksgiving or not. My thing is, I always tell people, whether you like it or not, you celebrate Thanksgiving because everything is closed. Your kids are out of school. Nobody works. So by default, you're somewhere chilling, practicing Thanksgiving because you live in a system of white supremacy. What you can do is define what you're giving thanks to. Because, see, I'm giving thanks, and you should give thanks, and the world should give thanks, not to the white supremacist colonists and some of the Native Americans that they interacted with. Because the myth goes that in the early 1600s, around 1621, there was this feast with the Native Americans and the colonists, and they sat down and all ate together, and everybody got along, the people on the new land and all that. That's the myth that they like to tell you. But we got to give thanks to the foundational Black Americans who made it possible so that everybody can eat. That's who we got to give thanks to. I give thanks to the foundational Black Americans who were the first real settlers here on the North American land, the first foreign settlers that were documented. When they came over with the Spanish explorers in 1626 and they fought them off, and then they blended in with other Aboriginal tribes here, these were the first documented foreigners to become permanent settlers here on the land. That's who I give props to. Those early foundational Black Americans. I give props to early foundational Black Americans like Juan Garrido, who was actually a Moor who lived in Spain. He came over with the Spanish. He was in North America, in the islands. He was in Central America. He was the first person to cultivate wheat over here in the Americas. That's who I give thanks to. I give thanks to the foundational Black Americans who actually stopped many of the white supremacists from getting slaughtered by the Native Americans. Remember, the Native Americans, they were about to kill all the damn white supremacists. Black people were really the liaisons in many of those cases. When you look at certain European explorers, the black people with them were the ones who kept the natives from killing their asses. Let's go all the way back to Estevanico the Moor, who came over with some early explorers down in Florida. They walked from Florida all the way to the West Coast. This black man, Estevanico, was the one who stopped the Native Americans from killing all of these damn white supremacists. I give thanks to people like that. In many cases, they took black people with them so that the natives wouldn't slaughter them. Those are the people I give props to. And I've been arguing with a white supremacist on Twitter today about our history. He's one of these white supremacists talking about if it weren't for white people, there would be no America. America would not be anything. America is a white man's country. America is not a white man's country. And I keep reminding people that without black people, every time the Europeans try to get a settlement here in the North American continent, they failed. I want to drive this home into your psyche. See, black people, we think because these white supremacists keep telling us that we were nothing without them. Without them, we are nothing. We were just this. We were just that. I want y'all to really get it in your brains and learn history. Without foundational black Americans, these white supremacists failed over and over and over setting up a colony over here. They failed in North Carolina, the South Carolina area, that first colony they tried to get in 1526, they failed. St. Augustine, they tried to get a colony there several times. They failed. The Spanish went down there. They failed. The French tried to get a colony down there in the Florida, St. Augustine area. They failed. And then they started cannibalizing each other and had to leave. I want y'all to understand history. In Roanoke, North Carolina, they failed. They failed. That whole colony just disappeared out of thin air. They don't know what happened to their asses. The first white girl was born here, a girl named Virginia Dare, and the white supremacist website, V Dare, is paying homage to Virginia Dare, who was the first white person born on North American soil. Her little ass disappeared. The whole damn colony disappeared. Nobody knew. They probably ate each other and just wasn't nothing left, because that's what these white supremacist asses would do. They would try to form these colonies. We weren't there to help the asses out, so they started starving and then cannibalizing each other. They did that in Roanoke. They did that in Jamestown. They started starving and started eating each other. And that's really, when you look at Thanksgiving, the Native Americans most likely was like, hey, look, why don't you put that nigga's arm down and let me get you some turkey breasts? The Native Americans had to come in and say, hey, well, damn, y'all up here eating each other? No, put that nigga leg down and get some of this corn. No, you ain't got to eat, niggas. Just we'll give you one of our turkeys and a deer, nigga, but you ain't got to eat, motherfuckers. What y'all doing? What is this? Who brought y'all niggas here? Damn. Because there was really more Native Americans at that so-called first Thanksgiving than there were the colonists. And by the way, they weren't called pilgrims at the time. See, these were people, these were white supremacists. They called themselves separatists because they were trying to separate from the British government and all that old stuff. But the term pilgrim, that came along in the 1860s, the 1880s. That term came along centuries later. They renamed the people pilgrims. That kind of had more of a Christian connotation to it. These people, they weren't on that. They were trying to colonize. They were trying to colonize. So these folks were over here eating each other. These white supremacists could not make it on their own. See, they try to minimize black people's presence here by just saying, okay, well, y'all just pick cotton and tobacco. We did way more than that. The minute we show up, all of a sudden everything becomes successful. Understanding it ain't just the cotton. Black people were herbalists. Black people were architects. Black people were doctors. We knew how to heal people. That's what Estevanico did. Let's go back to Estevanico the Moor. That brother was an herbalist. He knew how to heal sick people when he was traveling across the North American continent. We give thanks to that. See, don't let them try to just minimize our history to just picking some damn cotton. We dig the ditches, built the roads, built the bridges, built the railroads, built the buildings, cleared the brush, cleared the wilderness, planted some of the crops, cultivated things that weren't even here. We were the liaison so that the Native Americans would not slaughter these white supremacists. We are the true Americans, foundational black Americans. We've been getting it popping here. Don't ever let nobody try to minimize our history and the things that we've done. See, people are going to have to give thanks to that. Foundational black Americans are amazing people. Our history is amazing. And we have to own and claim our history and our land. We were not brought over to America. There was no America when we got here. We built America. Always get that part of the game together. Let folks know that. And nobody can compare themselves to foundational black Americans. And every blue moon, you get these white supremacists talking about their great grandmama came over from Europe, and my gramps worked himself to the bone. He came here and he had a nickel and a dream, and he worked to build this country. If a white supremacist suspect says that, break his ass down with the truth. Your great grandfather wasn't shit. He came over here because he wasn't shit in Europe. And the country he came from, most likely over there, still ain't shit. Because let's be clear, we have this idealistic view about Europe. Let's be real tonight. Let's talk real tonight. Do y'all know Europe is not as popping as y'all think it is? I've been all over Europe, and no disrespect to the Europeans. I get a lot of love from different European countries and all that. Most of Europe is damn near a ghetto. Can we keep it a buck? And I'm talking about now. A lot of parts of Europe, especially over there in Eastern Europe, that shit is a fucking ghetto. It ain't popping like you think it is. Let's just keep it a buck. I was just over there in Greece. Greece was kind of hood, dude. I enjoyed myself, but that shit wasn't, everybody wasn't bawling out of control. That shit was kind of, it was a little dusty. Some of my black folks who travel, you know, you've been to some of these little broke ass Eastern European places. It's not popping over there. With all your Aryan God bullshit, it's not popping where y'all from. And y'all know it ain't popping. It's hood as hell. Italy, that's why all them ruins are still there. They never clean that shit back up. The money comes from tourism. It ain't popping like you think it is. Let's keep it a buck. You dig? So just imagine what it looked like back then. It wasn't popping then with all of your Aryan superiority. It wasn't popping. That's why y'all hopped on a damn boat with a suitcase full of lice-infested drawers and came over here where the damn getting was good. You came here because you heard foundational black Americans built up a society that the white supremacists then decided to take the wealth from and give it to other people classified as white. So you're welcome. You're welcome. That's why y'all came here, because it wasn't popping. Work my finger to the bone. Fuck out of here. You didn't work nothing. You came over here where whiteness was welfare. Whiteness was welfare, and there was a welfare affirmative action system called Jim Crow that gave unarmed benefit, unearned benefits and resources and privileges to people classified as white. So miss me with all your bullshit success stories. Your success was built on the wealth of our labor. Your success was built on the wealth of our labor. That's why I don't let anybody from the dominant society try to tell me or any other black person what we need to do to be successful at anything when you had the luxury of cashing in your white ticket. So you can't talk to us about what success is and what success isn't. And you had something called whiteness, which was a lottery ticket in a system of white supremacy. And y'all like to pretend that that ticket doesn't exist because you like to promote the myth that you did it by hard work. No, you did it by a system of non-justice, and you did it based on the work and labor of others, mainly us. We carried the load. You're welcome. We're the ones you need to be giving thanks to. You're welcome. And I don't let people play that model minority garbage either, because they try to bring other groups over and try to elevate them over us and say, well, damn, how come you guys can't be like those Asians? They're a model minority. And remember, the Asian model minority myth started right after 1965. Before then, they had the yellow peril. They were talking greasy about Asian folks. Remember, they had Asian people in concentration camps over here. But to undermine black people because we raised so much hell, during the civil rights movement, they started using the whole, why don't you guys be more like the model minorities, like the Asians? Look how they pulled themselves up by their bootstraps. Again, these are people who benefited from our labor and our fighting and our protesting and our putting in work. They benefited from it too. They're not a model minority. Have you guys been to damn Asia? I have. It ain't popping like you think. See, black people, stop letting these dirty, filthy, lying white supremacists try to rub other people's cultures in our faces. Asia ain't popping like that. These are filth holes over there. In many of those places, and they know that. That's why, again, they come over here. See, black folks, we're not going to let folks try to culture shame us. Because we're the only ones standing up to systematic white supremacist oppression. And people try to denigrate us and down us by giving us these idealistic cultures that doesn't exist. These other bawling cultures that they try to rub in our noses just simply don't exist. This is where it's popping. That's why everybody's bringing their asses over here. And we're the foundations of this. See, they try to tell us that we have no home. No, we do have a home. This is ours here. We're the foundations of this. Respect the lineage. That's why everybody's trying to come over here to what we have built. Respect that. And don't be ashamed to recognize yourself as your own ethnic group. Foundational Black Americans, we are an ethnic group. That doesn't mean we disrespect any other group. Because the thing is, we have to understand how family works. Foundational Black Americans, these are our immediate family members. These are brothers and sisters. Now, some of the other family members in the diaspora, those are some of our distant cousins. And we're able to look out for our distant cousins after we get the immediate family in order. If the immediate family isn't in order, we can't really do anything about the distant cousins. So are we all a global family? Yes, we are a global family. But Foundational Black Americans, we're looking out for the immediate family as of now. We have to look out for the immediate family. Because we're not going to have the strength to do anything else if we're completely weakened and neutralized, and we're being neutralized by allowing other people to come and extrapolate resources from us. So this is why we're tightening up our circle a little bit, as we should. We're going to have to tighten up our circle and get our stuff together. And that's what we're doing. And we are identifying our Foundational Black American group. And there's nothing wrong with that. And if anybody has a problem with it, usually these are people projecting their nefarious mindset on us. They are looking at us and thinking, well, damn, I can't get over on these folks like I used to. And if you have that type of mentality, then you weren't down anyway. You understand? So we gotta give thanks to what we've done and how we stood tall. We gotta give thanks. And the thing is, other countries, especially if you are a European, you have benefited from the free labor of Foundational Black Americans and the wealth our free labor has generated. The white supremacist I was debating earlier today, he was talking about, I'm in Australia. I live in Australia and you guys have nothing to do with me. The hell we didn't. I want black folks to understand this. Our free labor here generated the wealth of the world. That includes Australia. If you're a European, anywhere on this planet, you need to bow down to a foundational Black American. Understand this. This was a British colony at first. And the wealth generated from that free foundational Black American labor, it went to Britain. That's where Britain got all their wealth from. The labor of foundational Black Americans, and then the labor of the Black people in the Caribbean as well. But the bulk of that money was coming from here initially. This is where they get their wealth from, that free labor. So when Britain became an empire from that free labor of foundational Black Americans, they would use their wealth to spread out around the world and colonize other areas. So when Captain Cook, who was British, under the British crown, and he went sailing around the world, and he got to Australia in the mid-1700s, I think it was around 1760, 1770, around that time, he was acting on behalf of Britain. And Britain, their wealth came from our labor. And Britain sent all their prisoners there because that was a prison colony. And then they committed forms of genocide on the Aboriginal people there. So we got to understand how these people were able to go around the world and colonize all these places. Where did the money come from? It came from our blood, sweat, and tears. When Britain went over there to India, that was money generated from us. When they went over there colonizing India, when they colonized parts of China. Understand, China was under the British crown, certain parts of China. Until really recently, by the way. Until like, I want to say shit, the 90s, right? If I'm not mistaken. China was under British colonialism. You understand? We need to understand history and where this wealth came from and how far reaching the wealth went. Hong Kong, that's right. That's right. Hong Kong until 1999. There you go. I thought I was correct. That's right. Very recent. Hong Kong just got from under them. On paper. I'll say that, on paper. You dig? So understand, all that wealth came from us. That came from our labor. And we never forget that. So we got to give thanks to foundational Black Americans. Canada too. Canada's wealth came from our labor because Britain and all the, they made money off of it. British Columbia, all that stuff. We've created the wealth of the world. We got to understand that. So I don't want to hear nobody say something like, well, only 3% of white people own slaves. Oh my God. It doesn't matter who owned a damn slave, who benefited from the slave trade. That would be all of you. I don't want to hear that who damn owned a slave. 100% of them benefited from the slave trade. It was a slave industry, and all of the people benefited from it. 100%. I say 200% of them, because not only did they benefit, their offspring benefited from it. That's who you give thanks to. You give thanks to foundational Black Americans in the world. Should give thanks to foundational Black Americans, especially the ones who come over here to further eat off and live off foundational Black Americans. Because the thing is, the white supremacy has become a religion, and part of that religion is to ignore and deny the truth of our history and the importance of our history. These white supremacists don't want to atone for what they've done unjustly, historically, with us. And You can only have a system of non-justice for so long. The universe knows how to correct itself. The universe is all about righteousness and justice, and the universe corrects itself. Nature corrects itself. And right now, nature is in a corrective posturing right now. You understand? And see, people want to play these games, but no, we got to stay on our square. And we got to work with nature. We got to work with universal law. And we got to let universal law and universal nature guide us to do what we need to do in assistance with universal nature and universal law. What do I mean by that? As we see, nature is starting to wipe the white supremacists out. These white supremacists are dropping like flies. Based on nature, we have to be ready to pick up the mantle. This is why earlier I was talking about all that hating. We got to get that out of our system, because when the white supremacists are gone, what are we going to do? How are we going to start handling business? See, we got to learn how to handle business. We got to learn how to utilize and work technology and keep technology going. I know that we've been taken out of that mix. The white supremacists, they make sure not to have us in certain rings of technology and just having us see certain parts of knowledge. They've gone out of their way to keep knowledge from us. They've gone out of their way to not keep us abreast with technology. They're very specific about us not getting knowledge. That's part of white supremacy. As a matter of fact, and I've said this before. See, black folks, we tell every damn thing we do. White people, they do not. As a matter of fact, when black folks come around, they stop talking. Get around some white people, black people, just as an experiment. Just walk into a room full of white people and watch they start whispering. I notice this every time I'm around white people. When I was at the doctor's last week, I sat next to some white people in the waiting room. There's a group of white people, and all of a sudden, they start whispering. Right when I sat down next to them, they just started whispering. I'm like, what the hell are they whispering about? This is how I'm a total stranger to these people. They don't want to share any of their knowledge with us whatsoever. But we tell them every damn thing we do. See, this is why for a long time they didn't want black people on those golf courses. They were hell bent on not having black people on them golf courses with them. Because see, these white people, when they play golf, these little golf courses, that's where they do all these big money business deals. Billions of dollars in business are done on golf courses. That's where they go, relax, they're out there in the open. They get to chop it up. That's like an old boys club. That's all about money. Some of the biggest deals have been done on golf courses, and black people have historically been left out of them damn golf courses, them golf clubs. They don't play that. They don't let you in the building. And if you're a caddy, they got to make sure you're a coon. They got to have coon caddies working in them golf courses. They do not want you in the loop. And see, this is why some of those Pullman porters were making so much money. Because see, back in those days, black servants were almost invisible. So they would have these porters working on trains, and they would go serving these white people, and the brothers be out there ear hustling. They'd be out here listening to stock tips, and they'd be out here just soaking up a lot of game. And these brothers go out here and start investing in stocks. And these Pullman porters had a gang of money. And when you look at some of our top scholars, they were Pullman porters. I think, wasn't our brother John Henry Clark, wasn't he a porter at one time? I know J.A. Rogers was a Pullman, and this is how he knew so much stuff. J.A. Rogers, this brother had so much game, and his books are just phenomenal. He wrote these books in the early 1900s because he would travel and he would get access to certain information in certain books, and then he would write these books and give them to the black community. Malcolm, was Malcolm one too? Yeah, Malcolm was one too. Some of our brothers who were real thorough, they were porters, and they would sit up there ear hustling these white supremacists, soaking up game and getting all the information that they like to hide from us. And the ironic thing is this. A lot of information they hide from us was damn information that black people gave them or they got from black people. Do y'all understand that? Again, I was arguing with this white supremacist earlier, and we're talking about inventions. He was one of these white supremacists talking about black folks didn't invent nothing and all that. And we were hitting him with all the inventions. And then he was like, well, white people discovered electricity. I said, fool. They have hieroglyphs in Africa of Egyptians dealing with electricity, dude. Then I think he brought up Sir Isaac Newton. And look, Sir Isaac Newton and all these people. And this is why you need to know history, because this is what they tell you in the history books. They tell you people like Sir Isaac Newton, this English white man, was sitting under a tree, an apple fell on his head, and all of a sudden he came up with the law of gravity because a damn apple fell on his head. Does that make sense? What they don't tell you is that Sir Isaac Newton, him and some of the other people up there, translated some of the emerald tablets called the Hermetic texts from ancient Egypt. That's where they got all these theories from. They had translated those old African Egyptian books. They leave that part out. They try to give you these little cute trot down the cherry tree, an apple fell down, and Benjamin Franklin flew a kite and all this dumb shit. They would get all this stuff from secret books that they would get from Africa and translate them and then act like they discovered the shit. They study our history hard. See, this is why we got to get back into our history. This is why we got to get back into it. Oh, yeah, they did somebody in the chat room said they would get into our libraries, get all of the books that they could get, and then burn the libraries down. In Alexandria, they burned that down. In Spain, remember, when they got all the Moors out, they started burning all of those damn documents. They started burning all those Islamic documents. A lot of those documents and texts and a lot of those scientific theories, all of that stuff was written in Arabic by the Moors, and they burned all that down. All the relics and the remnants of the Moors, they burned that down. They couldn't burn down the buildings. There were so many buildings and castles. They were like, well, we ain't going to burn this shit down. We're going to move into it. That's why there's so many Moorish castles all over Spain. But they burned down everything they could and kept a lot of stuff in secret society. See, this is when these secret societies started popping up, these Masonic halls. That's where they started to hide a lot of the information from the public. And in order to get all that, you had to go through all these different rituals to become a Mason up there, to become a Freemason. See, it's real heavy stuff. And all that Freemasonry is Moorish science. All of it is more science. As a matter of fact, Google the father of pure Masonic thought. A black man named Suleiman. He was a Moor up there in Europe. I think he was around there in the 1700s. This dude was teaching them a lot of that stuff. Look up Suleiman. It was the brother, the father of pure Masonic thought. Now, y'all don't hear too much about this dude. We talked about him in Hidden Colors 1, I think. See, they keep a lot of eye information secret, locked, and then they give it to you in increments and act like they are doing you a favor. You dig? This is why it's important for us to know our history. But like I said, going back to nature correcting itself, the white supremacists are desperate right now because it's their last stand. And there was an article that came out in Newsweek. This came out 3 days ago. It says rising death rates among white Americans linked to perceived threat to their dominant social status, study shows. They're just being blatant about what the deal is right now. Now, we've been telling people this is why these white supremacists are dying out. So now they're just being honest with it. And let me read some of the article. It says a new public health study released by the University of Toronto found that the rising mortality rate in white Americans is partly due to perceptions that they are losing social status. A paper titled Growing Sense of Social Status Threat highlights this population health phenomenon that has been unfolding for the last two decades. Mortality rates seldom rise unless a society is subjected to something disastrous, like a major economic crisis or an infectious disease or an epidemic of war. But there has been an increase in working age mortality rates for just one group in the United States since 1999, and that is non-Hispanic whites. Man, let me read some more. The anxiety of whites is coming from a misperception that their dominant status in society is being threatened, which is manifesting in multiple forms of psychological and physiological stress, says one of the doctors. The stress has resulted in what researchers call deaths of despair. While mortality rates trends are higher for whites, the increased causes of death have been due to alcohol consumption, opioid use, opioid overdose, and suicides. According to the study, rising chronic diseases, which includes hypertension, obesity, and others, contribute to this trend. They forgot AIDS because a lot of white people have AIDS. They left that out. See, all the opioid use and all the heroin use and all the drug use, those are STDs popping off with that too. See, this article is trying to be nice a little bit. It ain't telling you about all the damn AIDS going on in white society and all these damn crazy STDs. They're leaving that out, by the way, family. Because when you're out here on the pipe and you sharing needles and all that, some AIDS come with that too. Let me read some more of the article. It says, status is a major predictor in health, so our team hypothesized that it was a perception among whites. And let me stop 1 second. They keep using the term perception. It's a perception. It's not a perception, it's a reality. But let me finish reading. They hypothesized that it was a perception among whites that blacks are economically catching up to them when, in fact, some income equality and other social economic factors continue to affect black Americans more unfavorably. See, it ain't about the economics. It ain't just about the economics. So basically what this article is saying, that white people, because their numbers are dwindling and they are going to become a minority here, and being a minority among us, because historically we've been a group of people who have stood up to the white supremacists, and the only advantage they've had over us is their numbers and their technology. And number one, we're not really afraid of their technology. And when they don't have the numbers, they're like, well, damn. What is there to live for? We cannot be white supremacists. What reason is there to live? This is their mindset. They're like, if we cannot be white supremacists and black people just live completely under us, living in filth, living in poverty. And black folks are not content in living in poverty, and we're not content in that. they feel like there is no reason to live. And that's good. Because if you're living just so that you can see us suffer, you don't need to be here. Thank you, Ogun. Thank you, Ogun. So they're tightening up their little wagons and they're just dying off. They see they're crunching the numbers and the numbers just, it don't look good for them. So this is why they're going all the way out. This is why you see so many damn pedophilia cases with these white supremacists. They raping kids. They're just doing whatever now. They were like, well, hell, we gonna party like it's 1999. We're gonna die anyway. We're about to be extinct. Let's just party and bullshit and do whatever we need to do. Now, some of the other smarter white people are like, well, hell, let's at least make some cyborgs. Let's make a bunch of Arnold Schwarzeneggers or something. We gotta do something. Let's mix ourselves in with machines. This is why they're trying to do all this transhumanism stuff. This is why they're pushing the LGBT lifestyle on us so much. They're trying to get our birth rates to decline. Our birth rates are fine. Don't let them fool you. Let me tell you another thing, too. There's more of us over here than they're counting, by the way. There are more black people over here than 13 damn percent of the population. A lot of black folks are just not counted on the census. We're undercounted. There are more of us over here. And our numbers ain't going nowhere. So we have to understand these depths of despair. And we got to be very careful, too. This is why we got to be codified, because these white supremacists are on their way out the door. And we got to be careful because they might go scorched earth. They're like, well, we got to go. Shit, let's just drop this atomic bomb. Shit. If I got to go, let's just burn the shit down before we leave. So we got to watch out for that. So these white supremacists are getting bolder and bolder. There was another story I posted on my Instagram the other day. Did you guys know that researchers found that they can use melanin to power batteries and other electronic items? I want y'all to Google this. At different universities, these researchers, they're admitting that melanin, they can use melanin as a damn energy source to power batteries. Google that. This is not science fiction. They have done studies on this. They can use melanin to power batteries and other electronic items. Y'all understand this? Google this. We underestimate our bodies. Because melanin is like a form of carbon to a certain degree. The melanin ain't no damn joke. When we did Hidden Colors 2, we talked about melanin. A lot of folks were acting like we had on the tinfoil koofy. Family, do y'all know how much these white supremacists, they've been studying our melanin for a damn century? They have these little meetings all around the world. Asians and Europeans get together and they sit up here studying our pigment. They're studying our melanin and all the properties of our melanin and doing little experiments with our melanin. They've been doing this with our bodies. Henrietta Lacks wasn't the only one. That's the most famous case of them getting this black woman's cells, and her cells are reproducing nonstop. And they've been using this woman's cells from the 1950s to cure other diseases. That's just the one we know about. That's the only one we know about. That's the only one that they got caught doing. The Triumph of Melanin. Y'all need to go watch Hidden Colors 2 again. Y'all need to watch Hidden Colors 2 again. There's a reason, and we broke this down, why certain hospitals, there's always one hospital in a black area that, or in a city that black people know not to go to. Any city in America, there's always one hospital that black people for years are told, hey, we shouldn't go there. Every city I've been to, there's that one hospital. When I lived in Birmingham, that hospital was Cooper Green Hospital. The word is, do not go to Cooper Green. Your ass will not come out alive. Out here in L.A., King Drew Medical Center. Don't go to Killer King Hospital. That was infamous for niggas dying. Every city, there's a hospital that black people are told, hey, I wouldn't go there if I were you. Because they start doing all types of experiments on us. There's a book, Medical Apartheid. You need to read that. There's another book called Acres of Skin, where they did experiments on black people's skin in prison. There's certain, so many books and documentation showing receipts on this. See, Parkland in Dallas, real talk. Oh yeah, Grady in Atlanta, and Shady Grady, and Grady is named after the white supremacist, right, by the way. Grady Hospital is named after a hardcore white supremacist. There's a big statue of Grady right in Midtown Atlanta. Grady was a hardcore white supremacist. Literally, his own words, by his own admission, Grady was a white supremacist. Look up Grady. Yeah, I know Atlanta got the Grady babies out there. Y'all look up who the hell Grady was. You understand? This is why we need to know history. See, the white people, they know their history and they know their get down. They know what's up. That's why we got to know what's up. Anyway, y'all, that's been today's episode of Tariq Radio. Don't forget, ladies and gentlemen, speaking of Foundational Black Americans, we got 6 days for people to get involved with the Foundational Black American Conference. Huge conference. We almost got 1,000 attendees already. This is going to be the event of the year. We're having it in Atlanta, June 20th. Go to Indiegogo. Get your advance tickets right now. Ladies and gentlemen, let's make this thing happen. I hope you guys have a great weekend with your family and your loved ones. Give thanks to your heritage, because when you give thanks, that's who I'm giving thanks to. I'm giving thanks to Foundational Black Americans, and you should too. Anyway, guys, I will talk to you this Sunday on Tariq Radio, and you guys have a great, great